This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. Brian Berkowitz here from New York.
And Rich Baum from Sacramento, California. How you doing,
you're,
Brian?
Good. You're waving like all 10 people that watch on YouTube can see us.
You know what? Maybe that would urge people. I'll make funny face. I'll do all kinds of things if people just start watching. Sure. It's not beneath me. I'll do anything for my fans and our ratings. How are our ratings? How long have we been doing this? Are we still doing this?
We're still 3 years. We are still doing this.
They said it would never last. And I love all the people that say, you know what? I'm going to start a podcast. Well, good luck to you all because
it's a lot of work.
Brian, it ain't as easy as it seems.
It is not. But, I mean, look, if you remember, we did, I think, 80 something episodes without even taking a week off when we started this thing. And we just got burnt out, obviously. And now we split it into seasons and, you know, we have our sanity back. But yeah, it was tough at the beginning, tough go around, but we made it through and now we're chugging along. It's fine.
What's the hardest thing for you doing a podcast?
That's a good question. You know what? Honestly, I think the hardest thing is coming up, which I think you probably agree, with good quality guests that are non-repetitive, that have good information to tell, that keep people entertained and that can educate people versus, you know, we always like to have photographers on just because, you know, all different photographers do different things and they have different methods and different techniques and different ways they run their business. But to just have photographer on week after week after week and talk about gear and stuff gets a little old pretty quickly. So we obviously try to, you know, go out and do some unique guests, which we have this season, you know, with, you know, Mike, who we had last week, and we have some cool guests coming up, you know, in the following weeks, but it's tough coming up with good quality guests that, can entertain and it's something new and offer a new perspective. But as far as the recording part, I mean, it's great. You know, we just sit down, we chat, we, you know, as everyone knows, we don't do much prep work. Most of the stuff is off the cue. I mean, obviously I do a little research on the guests that we have coming up, but we'd like to make it a more natural conversation versus, you know, just reading off a list of questions. So, this is the fun part is when we sit down like this, you and I, and just chat, and just talk shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, for me, it is absolutely, I mean, doing the podcast is just, is easy. It's, you know, getting something different. I'm thinking, maybe put the word out there. If you're listening and you got an idea for a podcast, please send it to us. And we'd love to, you know, hear what you want on, maybe a photographer you'd like to have on or a topic or something like that. So anyway, but before we go on, I'd like to do one of our reads from HD Photo Hub, one of our wonderful sponsors. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography business. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious administrative time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so much more. Check out hdphotohub.com to find more. Again, that's hdphotohub.com. Okay.
Awesome. I'm actually looking forward to seeing HD Photo Hub again at PFRE this year. Not only heard from HD Photo Hub, but all the other guests. You see that announced this week, the dates of PFRE Vegas 2021. It? Going
to
be exciting.
17th and 18th of November, I think.
So either 17th, 18th, 18th, 19th, something like that. 18th, I don't know. One of those days. It's a Thursday and Friday this year, which is actually, I think, much better than it was previously because now being a Friday, you know, I can maybe bring my wife out for the weekend and have her meet me. And I'm sure a lot of the guests who did that last year too will do the same even more so now because we're ending on a Friday or a Friday night. But
it's tough for me to make this one, boy.
Oh, you're going to be out of Mexico.
I'm going to be in Mexico, but I might fly up and party with everybody because that's what it's all about. I mean, you can learn stuff, sure, but you can party. And I mean, getting to hang out with all the people was really fun. And I so enjoyed meeting so many people. So many people came up to me. Hey, man, Rich Baum, that's great. And meeting you for the first time.
Yes. That was, I mean, in person. That's also the last time we actually saw each other. So It was the first and last time. So, I mean, who knows mm-hmm. what's going to happen. We might see each other before then. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. Hopefully I'll make it out there this year again. I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm actually going to be in Vegas 3 weeks prior to PFRE conference. So, we'll see. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out there a second time, but I'm going to do my best to try and make it out there.
Yeah. And you're going somewhere really soon. Where are you're booking your tickets right now?
Yeah, I was booking right before we came. I'm going to Detroit.
Detroit.
I mean, I might have already come home from Detroit by the time this episode airs, but
shooting for some small little shopping mall outlet, right?
Yeah. Small, big. I don't know what they are. I don't know how big. I've never been out there, but shooting a Gucci pop-up store. But it's going to be a quick trip in and out, 2 days. And Detroit's nice. I've been to Detroit.
How many have you shot so far?
What's that?
How many stores? How many Gucci shows have you shot?
How many stores? I don't know. That's a good question.
Between 10, 20, 20, 30, 34.
Probably between 10, 20.
30, 40.
Okay. No, probably about 10, 20, 25, maybe.
You've done a lot of Rolex, yeah. Now, yeah. you've got to have the formula down. I mean, you don't have any worries, right?
No, you just know you're going to shoot. Exactly. It's quick. One to three. I did a shoot for Gucci last week. I was in the East Hamptons. They're opening up in the Hamptons a store just for the summer. And yeah, it was quick. It's all formulaic at this point. You just go in, you know what they need, and you go out and you shoot it. So
I'm shooting for Sycamore Lane Apartments and you're shooting for Gucci. What is going on there? No, hey. I'm happy. I'm really happy. Okay. Well, Joel, Brian, what do we have today? What's going on?
We haven't asked the guys question, which is exciting.
What's Ask the Guys?
First episode, Ask the Guys of the season. Ask the Guys.
What is it?
So for those new listeners out there who don't know, send us your question. If you go to our website, shootingspacespodcast.com, there's a little widget on the homepage, or you can click the Ask the Guys button in the navigation. It will take you to that page. It's a little widget where you can record a 90-second question you have for us about anything related to business, to gear, to photography. I don't know. I mean, ask us anything you want. If it doesn't pertain to what we're doing, we just won't use that question. But ask us any question that you might have that you might have been faced, and we'll do our best to go ahead and answer it. And we'll play your question live, and you can give yourself a little plug for your website and the question as well, if you'd like, and we'll play it live, and Rich and I will do our best to go in and answer it the best we can. And as we've done previously, if we've got a question that's out of our reach, we'll do our best to try to find a guest to come on with us who might be able to answer it. But as a similar problem we face at the beginning of every season is a lack of Ask the Guys questions. At the end of the season, we have too many. At the beginning, we don't have enough. So please, if you can, just take a question, submit it, send it over to us. If you can't use that widget for some reason, record it on your phone and email it to us. Any way you want to get us a question,
or just write us a note. I mean, everybody knows how to reach me. Send it to me with your question, and I'll say, hey, I want to put it on Ask the Guys on our podcast, and I'll read it. And
we can get Siri or Alexa to read it for us.
I've got that both at home now.
Oh yeah.
Boy. Okay. So right. What's the topic today? It's a good topic. So tell me.
Yeah, you know what? I'll just play the question. How about that? And then we'll go right into it. Here we go.
Hi, Rich and Brian. This is Daryl over in the UK. You did answer one of my Ask the Guys previously, so thanks for that. I've got another one for you. How do you approach an existing client who's decided to utilize another photographer and you've seen their work and it's absolutely inferior as far as, you know, reflecting on their brand? I know it's not also just about the photographs, but it's about the booking system, the overall reliability, and just, you know, the whole service really. Do you just let it go? Do you try to attract them again? You know, how would you approach them generally? It's easy to go in there and say, you know, their choice is a bad choice, but how to do it diplomatically as far as trying to entice them back again. Obviously, they just want to tick a box and say they've got a professional photographer, and that sort of satisfies their clients, but they don't seem to have any concept of the quality control and what then that has an effect on attracting new business. They just want to tick a box. They don't seem to realise the power that the photographs have when people do a lot of research online before even deciding on choosing to invite an agent round to evaluate.
All right. Well, Daryl got cut off because he exceeded his 90 seconds there. Exactly. Well, thank you, Daryl, for the question. And I think Daryl has, like you said, he submitted a question before. So I think this is his second one. He did one a couple of seasons ago. So thanks for that. And it's a very interesting topic. And yes, telling your previous client you made a bad choice is probably not the way to go. But, you know, actually, it's an interesting topic and we'll get into a kind of a discussion here, Rich, but I'm facing a similar thing, which I actually discovered last night, coincidentally, where one of my interior design clients posted an image, tagged another local photographer that's a competitor of mine in the picture that she shot him. And this is not even a real estate, this is interior design. I mean, obviously it's different, but you know, even more so with interior design, there's a lot more money on the table. So I'm kind of stuck in a dilemma right now, as far as what I should do. I mean, have you ever faced a situation like this, Rich?
Oh, absolutely. You know, over and over and over again.
And you don't call them and say you made a terrible choice. What are you doing?
Oh, I call them up and bitch them out. No. You know what? Here's the thing. I think, there's too many variables. It can't come out well. I just think you've got to do this.
Okay. Did you have that written already, or you just wrote that now?
I wrote it while I was listening. Because all I wanted to say is let it go. As he said, let it go. I'm like, let it go. I actually have several clients over, you know, I've been doing this 10 years. I have several clients that have had me gone away for a year, had me gone away for 2 years, come back, still shooting for them now. So if I had gotten too bent out of shape with them, and I used to get much more upset, and it hurt me, it hurts my feelings, but I truly believe you got to get over it. I mean, it's kind of like a girlfriend breaking up with you, you know? Oh no, it's not me. It's you. I mean, it's not you. It's me. Anyway. I think it doesn't do you any good to worry about it. It's almost like, and when I'm so proud of a shoot and I'll ask an agent, so what did you think? And many times they'll come back as, well, it wasn't one of your best shoots, Rich. And it's like, there's nothing you can really gain out of it. So if they pay you the bill, great. But if they leave you, there could be many reasons. They could be testing the waters with somebody else. There could be their neighbor's son is a real estate photographer that is, you know, and give them an opportunity or something. Who knows? But I just don't think it's worth getting hurt about, hurt feelings. And it's really difficult. I think it really, really is, because we care a lot, but who knows why they're doing it. And I personally would say absolutely not, never confront a client that has left you. Even if you're trying to come up with a creative, constructive way of asking, and it's not going to work out good. And don't burn your bridges in any way, shape or form, because there's a real good chance. Well, there's a fair chance that they're going to come back to you and there's going to be more money on the table. So that's just what
The issue for me, Rich. It's not even the hurt feelings, because I've had enough clients in my career that have come and gone. That doesn't bother me. More so for me, it's the money left on the table. So, you know, this is not a real estate client in my particular circumstance. It's an interior design client where I'm charging upwards of $1,500 to $2,500 for a day shoot, where if they're using somebody else who's cheaper, who might come in at real estate prices, I have no idea, because the person who they're using now is a real estate photographer. It's a lot of money I'm leaving on the table times a couple of shoots a year. So that's my bigger concern versus
what are you going to do? What are you going to, there's no sense in worrying about it, because what in the world could you do? What are your options that are viable options that you would possibly even consider?
Well, I wouldn't confront them, but I would potentially, and this was my thought and I haven't done it yet, this is what I'm toying with, just send them a message saying, you know, I saw you have other photographers, you're using other photographers. That sound, you know, this sounds great. Good for you. Let me know if there's anything that I didn't do right, you know, when I was shooting for you that I can improve for future clients. So I can try and help retain my current clients and not lose them. So not confront, you know, confrontational in any way, and not saying come back to me, but saying what did I do wrong so I can improve myself. And I don't know if that's the right answer, to be honest. I don't know. And hopefully people can that are listening that have had this experience can chime in and send a message. And if they can, maybe we can do a follow-up episode, Rich. But I don't know. It's kind of a weird predicament, you know. And I noticed it on Instagram last night. I'm like, do I like her photo? Do I say I like it and I'm okay with that?
Is it a different look? Is it a much different
look? It's a little more real estate-y, much more wide than I would shoot normally, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's weird too, because this one particular client that I shot for entered my shots into interior design contests and won using my shots. And you know, it's like, it's strange, you know, like she used my stuff, she won these contests, and then they're going to a different photographer. And you know, for me personally, I think it's solely about price, nothing else. I mean, it doesn't, you know, there's no other reason.
Could be.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, like Daryl said, and obviously work is subjective, but I think the other photographer's work is inferior to mine. You know, my old client might not think that, which is fine. That's her prerogative to do that. But you know, without knowing too much details, I'm going to go with the assumption that it was solely based on price and nothing else.
Could it be COVID? Could it be a money thing where this period of time, although a lot of people, we found out people are still buying and selling houses and people are fixing up their houses in this time, but maybe they just can't, you know, maybe they got to cut corners in some way, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm also just kind of toying with the take that you're doing, just let it go, just move on, be over with it. If she wants to call me back, she'll call me back. And if she doesn't, then I got what I could out of her. So it's I don't know. It's a weird predicament, but you don't, when this happens to you, you just literally let it go. You don't even broach it. You don't even speak to anyone. It's just move on.
I find any energy I put into that, isn't good. And I find that absolutely just forget about it. It's almost like somebody stealing. Oh, I used to shoot for Max Preps. I used to do high school football, and they would take my photos, and the parents would do it too. They would take my photos with the Max Preps watermark on them. They'd post them on their webs, on their Facebook page with the watermark. And I just finally said, screw it, man. I'm not, forget it. It's just whatever, you know?
Yeah, but you see, even though regarding the issue that you just explained, even though obviously that's, I guess, an infringement of license or copyright, but these parents are not using those images that, first of all, if you shoot for Max Preps, I think you're a work for hire and they own the rights anyway. Secondly, these parents aren't using those images that you shot or that Max Prep shot to make money. They just want to show people pictures of their kids.
But this is all about different thing. It's not about all about money. It's about feelings and it's about emotions. And it's about, we care about what we do. We put a lot of time and energy into what we do. And I've spent a lot of years trying to get better at what I do. And that's, you know, that's, sometimes that's more than money. You know, it's just lack of respect or lack of anyway. And the clients that don't use me, it's not always money. And you know, it's a lot of times it's just, I don't understand why I try so hard for you. What was it? Something I said, you know, and I start thinking about it.
No, you're right though. It's definitely, you let emotions take over. I mean, I have a case going on now with a copyright infringer, who I'm dealing with, and it's not even, I mean, it happens to be like a high ticket infringement, but besides that point, you know, when my attorney said to me, you know, like, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for two things. Yeah. There's money there. And that's part of it. I'm not going to say no, but if they would have purchased the license for me, it would have been pennies, you know, upfront, but it's more so.
Well, you want an apology too?
I don't want an apology, but you know, I want,
we're sorry,
but I want, this is a big time company. I want a big time company to know that they can't get away with it.
Yeah.
Like you can't steal my image.
That is true.
You know, and if I leave this and I come away with $500 at the end of the day, and you know, that'll be a big waste of time. But if I do, but they never do it again to another photographer, then it's a win in a way, you know, and that's the, you know, I guess the emotional side of me saying that, but obviously, you know, they did steal my intellectual property. I want to be repaid for that. So I definitely,
no, you're right.
I definitely hear what you're saying as far as the emotional side of things. But before we go forward, let's say a little word from iGUIDE. Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first five standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiGUIDE.com to learn more. Did I tell you I got an iGUIDE?
You did. Tell me about it.
That's awesome. I love it. I can't believe I waited this long.
Do you want to save it for a specific show or?
No, obviously the show is not about that. So I don't want to get so into it, but I switched completely from Matterport over to iGUIDE. I just booked another one next week for a commercial retail space, 10,000 square foot space. They called me for a Matterport. I sent them a sample of the iGUIDE literally with three sentences sales pitch. And they were like, this looks great. Let's move over. Let's switch it. And, it's awesome. It's quick, faster than Matterport on site. For all those who do commercial spaces with Matterport, you know what kind of disaster the alignment issues are. None of those. Loving it so far. So
great. Yeah.
And the customer service is phenomenal. When you try to get in touch with someone at Matterport, it's like, days and days. But what were you saying about Eureka?
I think I sent you a message. I couldn't, get connect. The serial number put in there. And I tried over and over. And you know, you're telling the client, it'll take me 12 minutes to do this. And you're 15 minutes into trying to put the stupid social security number. Anyway.
That was your problem. You're putting your social security number into
I'm getting old. But what I ended up doing was pushing. What did I push? Oh, here it is. I pushed, for anybody out there with Ricoh Z1, you push the Wi-Fi button and the mode button together, and it resets your camera, and then you can put it in again. And I think what I did was at some time I changed my password and I forgot what I changed it to. So the serial number doesn't work. Anyway, I got out of it. I got it good. Got it great. I had it done. And then the agent couldn't open up the tour. Hey, I'm trying to open the tour 12 times. Okay, try it again. And then they lost the email with the pictures. I'm like, well, go to your trash box and find the email. Anyway, so what's that?
It was a cloud panel.
I ended up, I tried to do Zillow, but Zillow kept asking me to do, they wanted me to do a 3D floor plan and I couldn't continue without doing a 3D floor plan. I don't know what's going on with Zillow. I'm not having a lot of luck.
I don't hear good things about their whole floor plan situation. Well, I mean, we had Daniel Mudge on, what was it, last season, talking about they were coming out with their whole floor plan thing. And I don't do Zillow floor plans. I don't really do anything regarding Zillow 3D or Zillow tours. But from different posts I've seen in some of the Facebook groups, it looks like the Zillow floor plans were taking like 2 weeks to deliver, something like that, which is insane.
Well, they're making it really, really difficult. I really like Zillow. I like the platform, but it's making it really hard for me. It's just a challenge every time. And Cloud Pano, they did something. I was kind of pissed off about it first. They changed a lot of things or the way you do things. And then they didn't let you know. So you get in there and you're in a hurry to do something and you have to do it and you're not doing it right. And then one of their features wasn't working. And it's like, well, we're beta testing. And I'm like, wait a second, you've released it to the public. But I got to say, I got over it and I've now been using it and it's so much better. It is the new, putting in, what's it? The circle with the V and the thing, you know,
the hotspots.
Hotspots. Anyway, so I'm really, really happy with the Cloud Panner now, but it was a tough transition. I don't like when people change things because I need time on my own time to figure it out. So when I'm out there, anybody out there, if you're new to this, make sure you understand your camera and understand everything you're doing before you go out and get a job and charge. So that was that kind of a thing. But I'm back in love with Cloud Panner, so everything's good.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't used them in a while. Mm-hmm. I should go back and look and take a look at their new features.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. I wouldn't mind trying the iGUIDE thing. You know, I got the Ricoh camera and it looks good. And I don't have a lot of call for a floor plan. So,
well, a few, but do you get a lot of calls for virtual tours?
Not a lot, but a fair amount.
Because if you already have the Z1, the new mm-hmm. iGUIDE system, the core unit, it's pretty inexpensive. I think it's like $1,200, $1,300, something like that. And then you're good to go. So,
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
We'll see.
But
anyway,
to get off a tangent, but I know you said you're going to get back on the. We're way off. I know you said you're going to get back to your YouTube channel and start pumping out videos.
Well, I keep
checking in. I want to see if Rich had released any tutorials. I need to learn, you know.
Every so often I come up with a tidbit that helps everybody, but I love helping. I love figuring things out and doing DIY, do it yourself, little fixes and things like that. But my son in college has been living with us for the last 8 months, and he's got my office is his room, or his room is my office. So he left yesterday, went back to Utah, and I'm moving back in there, and I'm going to start having YouTube videos, because I've actually got about 10 or 12 I've got to do. I've got all kinds of things. I'm going to do a one about the little plug, Spider Pro. Do you calibrate your monitors?
I don't. I have that exact calibrator.
Yeah. And you should do it. It's a big deal.
You know, it's funny. I used to do it all the time. And, you know, it's weird when you first go and calibrate your monitor. Right after you do it, everything looks so strange because your colors were like way off and all that stuff. But I don't know. I haven't been doing it the last year and a half, 2 years. I mean, the colors that the Mac gives you natively look really, really good. I don't disagree,
but
that
it's
you
almost,
shouldn't do
it's,
it.
It's the monitors. I have an old monitor, 32 inch, and a new monitor, I think 32. Anyway, I have one monitor look completely different than the other monitor. Mm-hmm. I did the calibration and I'm looking at them right now. They're identical and it's just a big deal to me. And also the exposure is a really big deal. And mm-hmm. one thing I'd like to say out there, a little tip for people listening out there, especially if you're new, please understand when a client says, oh, these pictures look too bright or they're too dark or this and that. Remember, maybe they have an uncalibrated monitor. Maybe they're looking at it on their iPad with the brightness all the way down or all the way up. So really try and find out what's the problem with the client before you take it personally. Like they're telling you your photos suck. Well, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else. And you can fix it and keep a client so they don't have to leave you and go to another photographer. So
yeah.
Anyway,
no, I should. I literally have my Spider. I don't know if I have the 5 or the 4.
I got the 5 Pro.
I don't know what
I'm going to do. I'm going to do a YouTube video on that. And it's something that I think
look,
far
like
too
that?
Few people. There you go. Yeah.
5 Pro.
The exact same one.
Same one. So
fast and easy too.
Yeah, pretty the whole thing takes like 3-4 minutes, 5 minutes. Mm. But you know what? I'm going to leave it right here on my desk. And tomorrow I'm going to calibrate my monitor.
Everybody,
I know if I put it back
there,
in my drawer, it's not happening. So I'm going to leave it right here on my desk.
Everybody out there, if you haven't calibrated your monitor recently, go do it for me. Okay. And so you'll just, you know, and it's one of the things that it's not as much fun and sexy as other things, but it's something we really should do. So. Anyway.
Sure. When your images look too warm or too cool and people complain about them, that might make the
and
biggest
another
difference.
Another thing, I don't get any money from these guys, but I got to start using a tablet. So
do
I'm going to try
a tablet.
Them. I don't you ever use a tablet. And I've got two of them and I've got the mini or the small Wacom and I just don't use it. So I'm going to try, especially for Sam Chen, because Sam Chen always gives me a hard time that I don't use a tablet. Do you use a tablet, right?
I use not for real estate editing, but when I do any of my real design, my heavier duty design or architectural editing, I do use a tablet. And I also got a new tablet from a recommendation from Tony Roseland. Let me see what it's called. It's It's actually really.
And if anybody's looking at this on YouTube, you should see this because Brian just got his new office and he has two photographs. What is that called? The Oculus? What is the building called?
No, neither of those are the Oculus. The one over my right shoulder, which I guess is your left, is a structure in Zuccotti Park, in the financial district, which is outside a building. It's like a square with a circle in the middle, but it's on one corner. It's a weird structure. Oh, and then the one on my left.
If they're both out of focus because of your depth of field of your camera, but that's okay.
I don't know. Is it focusing?
Yeah, they're not moving.
I don't know.
Put your hand back there. Anyway, whatever. Okay. But they're really, really cool. And I like them because you don't know quite what they are.
And no, I totally lost really focus, cool. There we go. And so when I do my my fine art stuff like that, the black and white stuff, I use this tablet, which was a recommendation by Tony Roseland. And it's made it's 16 inch. It's made by a company called Huion, and it was $400. But this thing is a monitor. So it's like equivalent to the Wacom Cintiq, you know, the Cintiq model where the monitor's on the tablet.
Painting on the picture.
So I have a little pen. This is the pen for it. And I can see it on here. And I use this for all
my... Do you use that or do you use your monitor to look at the picture or do you actually use the tablet to look at the picture?
So what I do when I do my fine... I don't use this for my regular design architecture stuff. Right. I use this for my fine artwork because I want to be a little more detailed. What I do is there's a way in Photoshop to duplicate your working window. So what I do is this... All this does is it acts as a second monitor. So essentially what I do is I duplicate the working window, drag it onto here, onto this second monitor, use this tablet as my close up view and keep on my main monitor, the full 100%, the full widescreen view. So here I can go into a small little detail, and then I see how it presents on the whole image in full on my main monitor. So I'm using the two.
So you're looking back and forth between the monitor and the tablet.
The tablet close up as I'm doing something very precise, my regular monitor as more of the wide overall image and seeing how the changes that I'm making affect the overall image. So it's a pretty cool workflow. And this whole thing was like $400. So pretty neat.
Okay.
Well, Daryl, sorry about that. We got way off. we just went in all these different directions.
Daryl, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Anyway, don't get your feelings hurt. You know, don't get your panties what is it? Panties in a ruffle.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just to circle back on that, you know, let it go. But if people have other techniques they tried for this or different things they've done that have worked successfully, you know, send me a message because I'm dealing with that now. And I'd love some advice for something that worked on a positive way to approach this and can obviously put it out for people in a comment on the podcast page or the show notes for people that have had success reaching out and seeing what happened. I mean, but yeah, I would definitely, Daryl, not reach out and say you made the wrong choice. That's not a good move. You know,
it may feel good for a minute, but
remember, it's kind of like I said before, you know, you feel their pictures are inferior. I feel, you know, my client's choice, the pictures were inferior, but it's all subjective. My client might think they're superior. And if they are, that's up to the client to decide and to choose. And, you know, they're the ones paying.
It's very well a money thing too. So yeah, don't worry about it.
I mean, that's what I think is the case with my situation, but there's no way for me to know that unless I approach her somehow or another about it. But I don't know if I'm ready to go that route. So,
okay. And before we go, I want to give a little shout out for PhotoUp. We all know that PhotoUp is the leader in real estate photo editing, but did you know that they offer video editing? Yeah, they do still images and video editing, virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, virtual assistants, and more. Having all your real estate marketing under one roof helps streamline your workflow so you can spend more time shooting spaces and less time behind your computer. Well, that's pretty catchy. I like that. Visit photoup.net/shooting spaces or click the PhotoUp link on the Shooting Spaces website to receive a $100 discount for your first full month of PhotoUp service. services and make sure you have to mention Shooting Spaces when you sign up to receive 10 free credits to try out any PhotoUp service. So check out PhotoUp and visit photoup.net/shooting spaces. Good stuff.
Beautiful. Hopefully they'll be out there in Vegas too. We'll take a look and see those guys. Devin, PhotoUp is a good guy.
Our sponsors are really good people. I'll tell you, we've met most of our sponsors. I think we've met them all.
I met them all.
And
Vegas,
they're very reliable, and they're embedded into the business. They really are. This is what they do, and they're going to be there tomorrow. And I really appreciate that. That's a big valuable thing, not a fly-by-night thing. So, yep.
All right, cool. Okay. So as we close it out, we just want to remind everybody to send the Ask the Guys. We said it earlier, so we're not going to just harp on it, but send those Ask the Guys questions. Sign up for our email newsletter. It's on our site, on our shootingspacespodcast.com site. I think you can probably also sign up on our shootingspaces.net page. This way, you know when we have some fun things to share with you, whether it's webinars, news, what else do we do? Presets, actions, new podcast episodes, anything that we do, you will know about it. So
time for a new webinar.
Yeah, we need
to
get one.
The last one was great.
Yeah, it was very successful. We had a good time, and you know, I'm still getting some positive feedback about that. So it was a fun webinar, and yeah, we should look to do one this summer. Come up with a good topic. Anyone have a good webinar topic? Send it our way. We'll look into it and see what we can come up with. But if you want to see any of our old webinars, you can go back and review them. If you've already purchased, you have access, go watch them. If you haven't, learn.shootingspaces.net. You can go back, take a look at all our webinars and rewatch them and see what you've been missing out on.
Okay. And I want to say thanks to all of our subscribers and all of our just friends out there. You know, there's so much good stuff happening. And until we meet again, go out and shoot some wonderful spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.